Today with Joseph Prince.
Imagine if you are getting weaker. You are feeling like you don't have the energy. When you spend time in this word, even physically, it has an effect on you. Amen. It is the breath of God. God's breath is in this book. So every time you read this book, it breathes on you. God is breathing on you again. Every scripture is God breathed. This is not the word of man. Can I have a good amen?
The enemy was always there behind my shoulder saying, "You messed up again. How can you be, you know, living up to God's expectations and standards?"
I was always feeling condemned. I never was seeing in my life the things that the Bible actually talked about.
And what really set me free, or at least in the right path, is believing that, you know what? Doesn't matter how many times you mess up, I'm still going to love you. And that inspiration, that power of grace, really provided me the opportunity to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
When I heard Joseph Prince, I just began to know that this was a missing link. This was the key. I had found it. And every time I hear him, I just get freer and freer and freer.
If the gospel of grace has impacted your life, I would like to invite you to join us as a Grace Legacy Builder. Let's advance the gospel of grace together. Visit the link on your screen to be part of leaving a legacy of grace today.
Well, first and foremost, I just want to thank all of you. I'll be remiss not to thank you all for praying for me last week. You all know that I sounded congested, nasal, and I looked very puffy, and I wasn't feeling well. It's very rare that I don't feel well, very rare. And it's very rare even that I come down with flu. But I preached my way right into healing. And towards the last part of the sermon, if you listen carefully, the last 20 minutes, I got stronger, stronger, and stronger. And I pushed myself right into wholeness. Amen. Justin is so cute. Justin prayed like this and asked the Lord for a word for me. And then he says, "The Lord said to me that you must, everything will be fine as long as you take Holy Communion." So I began to take Holy Communion every day, and here I am, praise God. To Jesus be all the praise and the glory, amen. You know, this is an attack. How many understand it's an attack? Before I preach on communion in a strong way, of course, the enemy does not want you to preach on communion because it is so simple. Have you noticed the things of God? It is not like for the exclusive few. And anyone that makes communion, like, we only have a special package prayed for by Pastor Prince. You must get this package. It's a deceiver. It's a con artist. The things of God is available for everybody. Like air. Air is available to everybody. Water is available to everybody. So when God provides things that anyone can use at home. Amen? And that's why it's not like the common food diets and the varied food diets that's out there. That means you must really, some of the products they sell, even vitamins, you must get from this particular one because they said ours is specially done in this way, that way, because they want to be exclusive. But let me tell you this, the things of God is not like that. Amen. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Amen. And cometh down from the Father of lights. Amen. Amen? The world has good gifts even from God. God gives His Son to shine on the just and the unjust, the rain to fall on the evil and the good. And this provision for everybody. So it says every good and perfect. But perfect gift is only for His children. That's perfect. Amen. Like the gifts of the Spirit. It's perfect. Amen? Amen. So our God is such a wonderful God. And you know where all these gifts are distributed? You know where it's all dispensed? In the body of Christ. That's why it behooves us then, we must not have a practice of grace where we despise the local church. We say the local church is just authoritative and this and that. Look, any church for that matter in the world today, there's no church that's perfect. Amen. But I tell you what, we got a God and a Savior that is. And His love for us, He loves us perfectly. Amen. So there's no perfect church. But let me tell you this, when we come together, something happens. There is a corporate anointing. There is a dispensing of the gifts of the Spirit. Many times healings, signs and wonders and miracles break out when God's people come together. Amen. You know, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, right? So He's always with us. Wherever we go, even alone, He's with us. We're never really alone. But when Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. It's a different thing. It's a corporate anointing. His presence is there in a manifested way. Amen? So He's with us. Every time we come to church, never neglect coming to church. Can I have a good amen? Jesus, when He rose from the dead, He rose on a Sunday. People say the day is not special. Well, think about it. He rose on a Sunday. Amen. Paul, in Acts 20, went to Troas. Troas, by the way, is Troy. You know, Helen of Troy? That's not Paul's hometown. Paul visited Troas. And he waited until Sunday where they came together, believers came together to break bread. Jesus appeared from Sunday, and then He appeared to the disciples again on the next Sunday. And then He appeared again on the next Sunday. We know that after He rose from the dead, He was on earth for 40 days. Amen. But He appeared. What is documented for us is that He appeared from Sunday to Sunday. That tells us something, isn't it? The Emmaus Road experience happened on a Sunday. So I just want you to know something. There is something about Sunday. The Jewish people, they celebrate Shabbat, which is their rest, Sabbath, on Saturday. So they work, and then they rest. A new covenant has come. Amen. Where we enter into rest first, and then we are able to work. Amen. Can I have a good amen? And for that matter, Sunday should be a day of rest. Since it's so special, God set it aside, it is special, it should be a day of rest. You know, when the first time rest was mentioned, the Bible says God sanctified the seventh day. God blessed it, and God said, now that is the first time the Bible used the word holy. God sanctified it. Sanctify is the word holy. So the word holiness is first occurrence, you got to do with rest. You know, when you're resting, you're actually operating in holiness. You hardly hear that right now. Today, the idea of holiness is strive, work, try to please God. But God's declaration, His first occurrence of the word holiness is rest. So rest. Smile your neighbor, smile at the one next to you and say, rest. Relaxed. You know, the Hebrew word for, listen, the word, say Rapha, there's the word for healing. Rapha, like Rafael Nadal, Rafael, right? Rafael. Anyone called Rafael is taking the Hebrew name. El is God's name. Rapha is heal. God heals. Amen. God is the healer. Got it? But Hebrew also has its etymology, which means the root word. So the root word for Rapha is Rapha, which means relax, let go. Relax. So the key of healing, the key to healing is relax. Some of you are not able to let go. You need to let go and let God take over. Amen. Let go, bro. Let go. That situation in your mind, this is the place must let go. Here. Amen? What is it, Pastor Prince, your hair? No, your brain, brother. Your brain. Amen? You must let go here. How many understand that you can be sitting down and you're working inside here? Yeah, even like what to eat afterwards. All right, let's go to the Word of God right now. 2 Timothy 3. It says here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Today, instruction in righteousness tells us righteousness is a gift in the New Covenant. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture, say all Scripture. All Scripture. This word is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration of God is one word in the Greek. It's one word. Literally, it is God breathed. The Bible you hold in your hands is God breathed. The words are God breathed. Now, this breath of God is the same breath in Genesis 2 when the Bible says that God God breathed into his Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. So imagine if you are getting weaker, you are feeling like you don't have the energy. When you spend time in this word, even physically, it has an effect on you. Amen. It is the breath of God. God's breath is in this book. So every time you read this book, it breathes on you. God is breathing on you again. Every scripture is God breathe. This is not the word of man. Can I have a good amen? In Proverbs 4, one of my favorite scripture, passage of scripture, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are what? Life. Say life.
Life.
To whom? To whom? To everybody? No. To those that find them. And health what? Health what? To all their flesh. You see the word all there in the Hebrew is the word call. Call means all your flesh. All your flesh. Many times, medicine is for a specific area. And then while it ministers to that area of need in your body, it actually can produce side effects in other areas. But only God's word has an effect where it is, when you read it, when you spend time in it, you pay attention according to these instructions. They are life to those that find them. And health to all your flesh. To all your flesh. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. That's good news. And you know what? Again, God's gifts are always available for all. All right, you don't have to. You must get a special version. You must get, must go to this place and get from this special copy and all that. There's no such thing. Amen. I love God. I love the way He makes it practical. You know, the pastors were talking the other day, and we were saying that we don't even sell our oil. You know, there are people who say this oil is specially prayed for, a special anointing oil. Let me tell you this: you can buy an olive oil from the supermarket, pray over it, it's anointed. Amen? So watch out for all this gimmickry and things like that. You know, there is a proper way of approaching the things of God, and it's time for the body of Christ to realize the real and authentic. But always remember that, you know, God gives air, for example, and out of air, man can breathe and have life. Man uses air to power a lot of things, pneumatic drills, and from air, one use. God gives one thing, and then man can use it in many ways, and it's free for all. Man creates something like the iPhone or the smartphone, right? Then you got to have a lot of gadgets to follow. You got to have this to maintain this. You got to have this to charge this. You got to have this to go with this. You put on earphone. You got to have an extension now to go into this because a new version coming up. So you must have another one. You know, it's like when man creates, you got a lot of things to get, a lot of things to buy. And part of it is marketing as well. But the thing is that God's way is so wonderful. And God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says that the Word of God, every scripture, say every scripture, is God breathed. Now, there is an idea right now that people say things like, people think that the Bible is not relevant. So when I preach, there are preachers say, when I preach, I don't use the Bible anymore because people don't believe the Bible. Well, you know something? You just got to preach the Bible, and the Holy Spirit is able to confirm it in their hearts. I love Billy Graham, the way he preached. Billy Graham said, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says it's appointed unto man to die once. And after this, the judgment. The Bible says there is a place called hell. Amen. The Bible says, I love the way he said, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. Amen. That's authority right there. Every scripture, and if you're wondering where we stand, we believe in the verbal inspiration of scripture. Which means there are even Christians who believe that the ideas in the Bible is inspired, but the words are not. No, we don't believe that. We believe that every word is inspired. Jesus said, think not, I'm come to destroy the law. I'm not come to destroy, I'm come to fulfill. Now, that's what He did. We are not under law because the law has been destroyed. No, we are not under law because Christ fulfilled the law and brought us all under grace. Can I have a good amen? But He says that I tell you this, not one yud, the smallest, like a comma, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet is a yud, a small like a comma. Jesus said, not one yud or one titel. Titel is the crown in a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Not one yud or one titel will pass away till all these things be fulfilled. So everything points to Jesus. I'll give you an example. One time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came to test Jesus, to tempt him. All right? The Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees, they believe in the resurrection. But they are sticklers for using the law to condemn people. Amen? The strict adherence to the outward form of the law instead of seeing God's grace and love. So the Sadducees don't believe in resurrection. And the two groups came to tempt Jesus. It's one time they gang up together. They're actually at odds against each other. So they came one time and then the Sadducees questioned Jesus about the resurrection, saying the man had a wife. And then what happened was that there were seven brothers. This man died and then his brother married the wife. And then this man died. And then in heaven one day, whose wife will it be? Some crazy notion. Three people ask the same questions, right? When they want to challenge you. You know, so let me just tell you this. Look at the way Jesus answered. Jesus said these words. But concerning Jesus answered and said, concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read? I tell you this, I believe that most of our problems is because we have not read. How many times in the Bible Jesus said, have you not read? Have you not read? Do you not know the scriptures that say, amen. When the devil came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus answered with, it is written, it is written, it is written. And he's the Son of God. And yet he used the word, it is written, not it is spoken. Today, there's another group of a lot of Christians who say, we live by the spoken word of God. You know, we don't live by the written word. The written word is dry and the written word is outdated. No, friend. Jesus said, it is written, not it is spoken. By the way, that first temptation was command these stones to turn to bread. Jesus was at the end, say at the end. Don't forget, at the end of his 40 days fast in the wilderness. Now, when you fast for 40 days, it's possible. When you fast for 40 days, you feel hungry at first, but somewhere in the middle, you actually lose desire for food. You don't have any desire for food anymore. But at the end, towards the end of the 40 days, the hunger comes back. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The hunger comes back. And that's the time you must eat, or else it'll be starvation already. All right, so at the end of 40 days, Satan came. We think that the Satan and all his temptations was all accomplished during the 40 days. No, it was at the end of the 40 days when Jesus was hungry again. So the devil came and said, command these stones to be turned to bread. Now, earlier, 40 days before, the Father actually spoke these words to Jesus when he came out of the waters of Jordan. Remember that? The Father says, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. Right? Now the devil says, command these stones to be made to bread. I believe this is my take on this. All right? I believe that somehow the devil either reproduced or he brought a vision of the Ten Commandments, the stones. And he said to Jesus, command that these stones become bread. In other words, find your nourishment in the law. And Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And what is the word? He heard from his Father, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. That's what we are to live by today. Man does not live by bread alone. And yet we are trying to live by bread alone. By noodles, by rice. We believe we can survive. No, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. And what word is it? Is it word of the law? No, the word of grace. You are my beloved Son. By the way, Moses received the Ten Commandments, the two stones. He spent 40 days and 40 nights with God in the mountain. And when did God give him the stones? At the end of the 40 days. So I submit to you, I believe the devil is referring to the law. Anyway, back to this again. So we see that Jesus talking about, have you not read? Many a time people don't read the Bible, so they don't know the truth. What was spoken to you by God saying, now this God speaking to Moses at the burning bush, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Now, how does that answer the question? Is there a resurrection of the dead? He says that God, have you not read in the Bible, it says, God says, I am the God of Abraham. Notice, everything that he says hinges on this word, am. I am. God did not say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have lived in the past. But God did not say, I was their God. God says, I am their God. In other words, they are still alive somewhere in heaven. And I'm still their God. Wow. Anoki Elohe Avika. I am the God of your father at the burning bush. Elohe Abraham, Elohe Yishak, Ve Elohe Yaakov. I am. Just one word in the Hebrew. One word here. I am. Jesus argues from the word of God based on just one word. And none of the Sadducees or the Pharisees says, hey, you're arguing from one word. Don't you know the Bible is poetic expression? You cannot argue from a word. No, the word of God, every word is inspired. God did not say, I was. God says, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is still alive, and I'm their God. I am their God. Are you with me so far? Look at the Apostle Paul. When he wrote the book of Galatians, he argued from this. You know, the Jewish people say that we are the seed of Abraham. And Paul says, yes, no doubt you are the physical descendants of Abraham. But God has a seed. And when God gave promises to Abraham and his seed, this is what God says. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of plural, many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. He argues from one letter now. Hello? Seeds is plural with an S. Seed is singular. An argument from a letter. And who is that seed? Christ. In other words, all of us inherit the blessings of Abraham. Because the Bible says, if you believe on Christ, you are Abraham's seed. Are you listening, people? An argument based on one letter. That's why we believe in the verbal inspiration of Scripture. Now, for that reason, I want to say this carefully. You know, I don't want to make you think that I'm against new translations and all that. I'm not. Where it helps you, especially the narration of a story, to understand a story better, go ahead, no problem. But we're talking about the original Greek in the New Testament and the original Hebrew in the Old Testament. Every word is inspired. It's best you don't get too many new translations, if you can. Amen. Stick to a Bible that you use. Can I have a good amen? And when you spend time in the Word, whether you have a daily devotional, I recommend my daily devotional because I know what I teach. Amen. But there are many good daily devotional. But if you do a daily devotional, look at the passage of Scripture and read it up. Something happens to you when you do that. Amen. Recently, I was reading the story of Esther. You know the story of Esther? How the king was actually manipulated by this evil chamberlain of his, this prime minister. His name was Haman, and he hates the Jews. So he planned in such a way that the king would endorse the killing of all the Jews on a specific day. And the day was drawing near. Even Haman had a special bitter hatred towards the leader of the Jews, a man called Mordecai, the uncle of Esther. Right? So today when your Jewish friends celebrate Purim, this is the story. Amen. The whole thing turned around because of one sleepless night. The king had a sleepless night. So the king asked for a book of Chronicles. A book of Chronicles is like a book recording what people did for the king. That's all. Maybe he wanted to bore himself to sleep. I do not know. So anyway, I was reading this in my Bible. You asked Pastor Prince, what's the best way to study the Bible? What's the best way to receive the benefits? Now, I'm telling you, I'm sure you can have a Bible app, you know. And nowadays, there's many good Bible apps, and then they have places you can take down notes and all that. But somehow, for Bible apps, for me, it doesn't work. No matter how big the tablet or the, you know, it's like when I have my Bible and I write down in my Bible, all right, I can just turn around and I see revelations here. I'm looking at this verse, but I see the verse here over here. And something that speaks to me. You know, like, it's nothing like the hard copy here. So I'm just one of those. So if you recommend, I just tell you what I do, okay? I have a white margin Bible. That means on the sides here is a white margin for me to write down my own notes. There are a lot of Bibles out there with other scholars' notes. But again, some scholars, to tell the truth, some of them are biased against healing. Some are biased against the gifts of the Spirit. So they're not true in those areas. They'll say that the gifts have ceased. So I like to allow God to speak to me. Amen? So I have my own notes on the side. So let me give you an example of my white margin Bible. Actually, when I wrote this down, it has cancellation and all that. It's very bad handwriting, so forgive me. I want to show you this. But when I wrote it, I didn't expect I'll be using it. It was my own consumption. So this is very personal, okay? So don't laugh. There you laugh. I haven't shown you, you laugh already. Okay, this is my Bible. White margin Bible. So there's a white margin on the side, right? So chapter 6 says, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. I want to show you some practical handles on how to study the Word of God. Okay? So that night, the king could not sleep. So can you see what I wrote? When we cannot sleep, while in the night seasons of our life, take God's book of records. How many know there's a memorial here? David killing Goliath and a lot of memorials. And then when you can't sleep, not only in the night seasons, when you're going through a bad season, a trial, that's called the night season. But literally, you can't sleep at night, read the Bible. Amen. And read God's book of Chronicles, maybe even the book of Chronicles. There's a book of Chronicles, you know. And read it. There's a cancellation down there. So we will see Jesus. Number one, in the Bible, we want to see Jesus. Now, who is Jesus in the book of Esther? Mordecai. Mordecai is the leader of the Jews, and he is the one that God used to deliver the people of Israel. So Mordecai, literally his name is Little Man, as opposed to Haman, the prime minister, right? Who is the illustrious one, the prime minister of the king, who was hell-bent on killing the Jews. And after this, the king realized that Mordecai actually saved his life. Mordecai heard two guys, his bodyguards, actually planned to kill him, kill the king. And Mordecai heard about it, told someone who told the king, and they had those two arrested and killed. And the record of Mordecai was written in the book of Chronicles, but he was never rewarded. So during this time, when he can't sleep, he asked for the book of Chronicles to be read to him. And it came to the part where Mordecai did this for the king. And the king says, what has been done for this man? And he says here, I say that because of that, they say that nothing has been done for him. And the king says, you know what? Tomorrow, put him on my best horse, like his best Ferrari, you know what I'm saying? All right? Put my clothes on him and march him down the street and say, such a man will be honored. This is how the king honors such a man. All right? So I write down there, and will remember to give him the honor, give Jesus, in other words, the honor and dignity that he deserves. Then I wrote this down. A sleepless night plus reading the book equals turnaround. Everything hinges on this. Everything hinges on this part. So when I wrote it down, honestly, I didn't plan to preach on it. Right? But as I was preparing myself, I felt the Lord tell me to tell you, because you are my flock, in a sense. I'm your under-shepherd. Amen? I think the flock should copy the pastor. Amen. Have your own Bible that you can write your notes. Every time you have a pen ready, stand by, and you have a white margin Bible, and you just read the Word, and everything God shows you something, it's your own revelation. So you know, the pen down there is faith in God, isn't it? You're telling God, I know you'll speak to me. And then you start writing down, and you never know in the future how many times those notes of yours will minister to you. How many felt you are ministered by this even? All right? And there's a sermon by itself. A sleepless night plus reading the book, it goes what? Turn around. Everything in the story hinges on this. Everything in the story hinges on this. So, I know some of you, literally, you cannot sleep. Literally at night. Amen? Why not literally read? Amen? Get up, read. Read the word. Can I have a good amen? Praise the Lord. So I just want to tell you that the word of God is such a precious word. It unveils Jesus Christ. That's number one. And I just want to tell you that that's how lives are transformed. Can I have a good amen? I want to read to you a testimony right now from this lady in Germany. She says, this came in this year. I was diagnosed with streptococcus infection, a bacteria that causes disorders such as strep throat, pneumonia, and bloodstream infection, and experienced unbearable pain in my head, hands, and feet. I visited multiple hospitals 14 times within 2 years and was prescribed antibiotics and other heavy medication. The fever would go away for a while, but not the pain. Then I was given morphine because no other painkillers could help me. After 2 years of treatment with no results, the doctors told me they could not help me anymore. I lost all hope. At that time, I was thought I was sick because God was either teaching me a lesson or it was a consequence of the sins I had committed. Year by year, my morphine dosage increased until I reached the maximum dose. I was addicted to morphine and could not lead a normal life. 8 years ago, I went to a rehabilitation center but stopped after 14 days as I could not stand the terrible withdrawal symptoms. The doctors explained to me that because morphine is a synthetic drug, the drug withdrawal symptoms would be painful and take longer to go away. 5 years later, someone came to our church and told us to be wary of a preacher on TV called Joseph Prince. This was in Germany. So by the way, we are also on in Germany, okay? Intrigued. This always happens. Intrigued. I started watching Pastor Prince's sermon secretly with much caution and skepticism. So I should actually thank the preacher, whoever it is, Dunker. But the more I watched the sermons, the more hopeful and free I became. Finally, God's grace completely changed my Christian life. It was a revelation for me to learn that there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Since then, I would watch Pastor Prince's sermons twice a day. I would also partake of the Lord's Supper regularly, believing that by His stripes I was healed. I've also been confessing that I am the righteousness of God in Christ daily. Since last year, after almost 18 years, just like the woman in the Bible, 18 years, bowed down. After almost 18 years, I've been set free from morphine addiction and pain. This was completely effortless, and I experienced no withdrawal symptoms. Hallelujah, to God be the glory. That brings me to the next thing when you study the Bible. You have to, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word. You have to rightly divide the word. When you read the Old Testament, be very careful especially. When you read the Old Testament, there are some direct laws. I know there are a lot of stories we love in the Old Testament, but there are also laws down there. The laws, listen carefully, the laws itself must be interpreted in the light of the new covenant. We must rightly divide the word of God. Can I have a good amen? We are no more under law, we are under grace. The law demands, grace supplies. All right? When they didn't obey the law, they died. Under grace, you don't die. Under grace, in fact, you turn around and you learn to confess, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You learn to look to Jesus alone. And guess what? What comes back to you is much more than what you have lost. Grace, listen, law condemns the best of us. Grace saves the worst of us. We have to rightly divide the word of God, okay? Now, usually when you read the Gospels, people think, well, the Gospels is all grace. Yes, Jesus full of grace and truth. But Jesus said right at the end of 3.5 years ministry, I have many things to say unto you, but you're not yet able to receive. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. That tells us that Paul's teachings are not Paul's teachings. Paul's teachings are the teachings of the heavenly Christ, the glorified Christ at the Father's right hand, through Apostle Paul. And that's why Paul, when you read the book of Pauline Revelation, as well as all the Peter and all the John and all that in New Testament, these are not the words of man, it's the words of God. Now, I'm not saying Old Testament is not relevant. Old Testament is very relevant. I showed you last week about thou shalt not muzzle the ox, how to interpret that, right? Remember that? For example, for the benefit of this message, so that it is inclusive in this message, For example, in 1 Corinthians 9, it's amazing. Paul looks at this law and Paul says, it is written the law of Moses in Deuteronomy. You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. So there's a law there. So this is Old Testament, right? So are we to read the Old Testament? Yes. There's a benefit there. So when you read the Old Testament, it says, don't muzzle the ox when it treads out the grain. Why do they muzzle the ox? They don't want the ox to eat the grain. There are people like this, you know. That's how they treat their stewards, the mates that they have at home also. You know, people that, cannot eat. You know, it's always cannot eat. Be generous, lah. People take care of your family, you know. They spit into your food, you know. And you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? That's what the question is asked. When Paul looks at this law, you should not muzzle an ox that treads out the grain. He says, is God concerned about oxen? What do you think? Is God concerned about oxen? No, more than that. So listen to this. This is the purpose of Scripture, even in the Old Testament. Or does God say it all together for our sakes? Or underline that, all together. All together means all the Scriptures. God writes it or documents it for our sake. So that those who plow should plow in hope. Those who thresh in hope should be partaker of this hope. Right? And the last verse says, if we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? So Paul is saying that the ox there is a minister of God's word. Amen. He should be amply rewarded. Amen. That's also in Timothy. 1 Timothy says, the same verse, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the grain. And a quotation from Jesus in the Gospels, let the laborer be worthy of his wages. Jesus quoted that. That's from Jesus. And then he says, let the elders who rule well be worthy of double pay. It's with those who labor in the word and doctrine, all based on one Old Testament scripture. Amen? So this is amazing that all scripture is written for our benefit. Number one, all scripture is written to unveil Christ. Number two, it is not for the oxen or the animals. God prioritized you first. You know, we say, save the world. Save the animals. Save the trees. But God says, save the people and the world will be saved. The problem is the people. Burn here, burn there. It's the people. It's not the environment, it's the people. Amen. So the Lord believes in the priority. People are the priority. Amen. Can I have a good amen? So praise God. Now, the Bible is also scientifically accurate. The oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. Say Job. I used to think last time that the book of Job is the place where you go to find a job. Well, the Bible got job. Oh, the job listing, you know. I was much younger then. So the book of Job is about 3,500 years old. It's the oldest book. All right, it was written 3,500 years ago. The oldest book in the Bible is not Genesis. Genesis is written by Moses under the inspiration of the Spirit. Like I told you, every word is inspired. But book of Job is the oldest. Now, the book of Job has a lot of scientific facts. I'll give you a few. For example, it says in Job 26, God hangs the earth upon nothing. This was way before man discovered. Let's look at it. He stretched out the north over the empty place and hangs the earth upon nothing. This is back when there's no telescope. This is back when there is no spacecraft. There is nothing that can show you that the earth hangs upon nothing. During that time, even, they believed that the earth is hanging on a turtle's back. A turtle, a giant turtle is supporting. Have you seen that? Have you heard that? Then later on, they say that it's on the back of a man called Atlas, a very powerful man. Okay? But the Bible was there long before any scientist was. The Bible says God hangs the earth upon nothing. The Bible is not, listen carefully, it's not primarily meant to be a scientific book, but it is scientifically accurate. When it talks about science, it's scientifically accurate. And the concept of fingerprints, everyone's fingerprints are unique. Like no grain of sand is the same. So likewise, your fingerprints and my fingerprints are totally unique. And that's why identification is by fingerprints. You go into our Changi Airport, you use your thumbprint. Am I right? It's unique. It is your identity. No one can have your fingerprint. See, you are special.
Amen.
There's no one like you. Amen. If someone says, you know, you're a dime a dozen, and lose you means lose with a lot of people to take over your place. It's not true. Lose you, we lose something special.
Amen.
No one can take your place.
Amen.
No one can take your place.
Amen.
No one can take your place. Amen?
Amen?
God has a special call in your life. So, fingerprints. It's a new discovery. It's a new discovery that a criminal can be indicted because of his fingerprints that he leaves behind. But in the book of Job, 3,500 years ago, it says that God seals the hand of every man. And the word seal here is a seal, literally a seal, a special seal. And during that time, they use seals. Every home will have a seal that's unique for that family. So it literally is saying there's a print that God has put that will be a seal, like the way you operate a red seal at that time. Is saying that it's in the hand of every man. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah is written 2,800 years ago. And Isaiah says, Isaiah says the earth is round. Let's see what he says. It is God who sits above the circle of the earth. The circle of the earth. By the way, there are people who still believe the earth is flat. And 2,800 years ago, long before man discovered that earth is round, the Bible says that the earth is in a circle, spherical, round. Amen. And yet the book of Isaiah is not a book to reveal scientific facts. Amen. But where science is mentioned, it is always accurate. Any science that contradict the Bible, wait long enough, you'll find that at the end, it has to agree with the Bible. Either it's not gone deep enough, long enough. Amen. I think it was a rocket scientist, literally a rocket scientist, the one that created the Christian, I forgot what's his name now. But anyway, the guy who created the rocket for the German guy who created a rocket, he's a Christian as well. The rocket for the U.S., he actually said this, every conclusion of scientific facts, every conclusion of scientific discoveries will come back to this, that the Bible was there all along. Are you listening? And then we have a practice until 1800s, there was a practice called bloodletting, which means you got a disease, right? Cut a bit of your skin, let blood come out. With the blood letting, your disease will also leave. A lot of people died. And all the while, by the way, George Washington had a bad throat and they did blood letting and he died. George Washington, the first president of the US. And nearby his bed, there's a Bible. And in the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, written about 3,000 years ago, 3,500 actually, around there, it says this, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh, where is it? In the blood. If men believe this, what happens when you let go your blood? You let go your life. So bloodletting is something that was practiced even until the 1800s. Are you listening? In 1845, there is a Jewish doctor by the name of Dr. Ignaz Samuel Weiss. You can tell the name is Jewish, right? He discovered that a lot of women were dying in the hospital. And at that time, the man has not yet discovered the presence of microorganisms like bacteria, viruses, and all that. So what happened is that he noticed that they were dying at a 30% rate, women. And he noticed that the doctors, after examining patients who had just died, would go and attend to women who just are there for, they are pregnant, they need examination or whatever. And when examined them, many of them died. So plus his background, the Jewish background and all that, he realized something is going to happen. And the book of Leviticus has a lot of washing. Wash your hands. When you touch the dead, wash your hands. When you touch a dead carcass, wash your hands, wash your hands. You think the people of Israel understood germs and virus? No, this is a new discovery. Until 1845, it wasn't yet discovered. So he told the doctors to wash their hands. When they washed their hands, the mortality fell to only 1%. So that's when they started studying the presence of all these viruses. And the Bible was there all the while. The Bible says if there's a skin disease like leprosy, the man should be quarantined. No one should come near him. Long, long before men discovered that it can spread. In those days, like the Black Death of Europe, the people that are dying and throwing up and suffering and all that, they should have them in the same house, in the same room. They didn't understand that these things can be passed. But the Bible says when someone has that kind of condition, quarantine the person. And that's the reason why they blame the Jews, unfortunately. They blame the Jews because the Jews are relatively free from all these things because the Jews practiced Levitical laws. Even though they love someone, they will quarantine. They'll make sure that they bring the food and they are quarantined. Long before man discovered scientifically the presence of viruses and bacteria and all that. This is your Bible you hold in your hands. Amen. Yeah, sometimes, you know, you're in a hurry. I know that the people say, don't even try to, like, you know, open the Bible at random. Say, God, speak to me. I open the Bible at random, you know. You were saying, right, you say, God, speak to me. And then it says that Judas went to hang himself. Then close the book. God, give me another one. Give me another one. Then you open again. What you do, do quickly. You know? You know? We've heard that so many times. But let me tell you this. My experience is that there are times I'm so desperate. Amen. I'm at home saying, God, speak to me. Amen. And you know what? I open my Bible. Thank God people are opening their Bibles. Now, it's really, really crazy. Don't do it. But one time I remember as a young teenager and I was experiencing the miracle of the Bible, I was having a new respect for the Word of God. I remember that I had very long hair and my mom has been telling me, cut your hair. And I didn't want to cut my hair. And I remember listening to a sermon one time and I opened my Bible at random and it says, cut off thy hair. It was referring to Jerusalem, cut off thine hair. You know, I was so convicted, you know what I'm saying? You know, so I felt love at the same time that God would know my special need. Now, many a time, sometimes that reference in the context is referring to someone else and somebody else during that time period, amen? But it has a voice for us today. Open your Bibles. Amen. Open your Bibles. Praise God. Of course, it can be abused. I'm saying that you do that all the time. Don't do that all the time. You should have a systematic way of studying the Word, preferably with a pen on your side and just meditate on the Word. You can study it, like read it like a washing. Something you just read it to wash yourself. You know, it has a cleansing effect. Sometimes you do it like a macroscopic, like you study the Word. Then the Bible says that when you touch the Word of God, His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither. And I believe that refers to your health. And whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. So this world says, oh, is the prosperity message valid? Is this prosperity? Is there prosperity? I read my Bible, whatever He does prospers. That's prosperity for me. Whatever He does prospers. The Bible answers for you. Can I have a good amen? Are you with me so far? Okay, let's bring this to some practical stuff. When you study the Word of God, remember this principle. Even though you're down, you're discouraged, there's something about the Word of God. Jeremiah 15 says, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. How many, when you read the Bible, many times you feel fat? Or you listen to the preaching of the Word, you're fat. You feel like you go away with something like you have just eaten something good. Amen? This church, spiritually speaking, is a Michelin star. Amen. Amen? So people ask the question, everybody has the same ingredients, right? Amen? But there are people who have the same ingredients and they produce this kind of food. There are people who have the same ingredients and they produce a different kind of food. Amen? How do you pay them? How do you reward them? Depending on the kind of food they produce. Yep. And how many people appreciate that kind of food. Yep. Amen? Now, I want to bring this to a close, but the most important when we study the Bible is to see Jesus. And we see this on the Emmaus Road experience. Right? Now, we see that there were two disciples. By the way, this was on a Sunday. And on the same day, the same morning, Jesus rose from the dead. He took time to walk on the same Sunday, probably in the afternoon. He took time to walk with two of his disciples who were discouraged. And they were walking back to a place, a town called Emmaus. Emmaus means hot baths, like the Roman baths, like the spa, onsen in Japan. Hot baths. So they were on their way to this place called hot baths, and they were discouraged. They were talking to each other, and they were discouraged, and the Lord drew near. And the Bible says their eyes were restrained from them that they should not see him. And many of you have heard me share this, but it was a revelation to me. I never heard anyone preach this. I used to wonder why the Lord restrained their eyes from seeing him in the flesh. Isn't it wonderful if you rose from the dead? One of the best ways, I think, to bring people out of their discouragement and say, hey, guys, look at this. Look at the nail-pierced hands. Look at my side. Look at the wound, that the spear. I'm Jesus. Isn't that great? Yeah. But obviously, the Lord felt that something greater than that. Amen? So he drew near and he restrained their eyes from seeing him, who he really is. And then they walk with him and he says, why are you having this conversation and you are sad? You are discouraged. And he says, are you a stranger in town? Have you not heard what happened recently? There's this Jesus of Nazareth. And this is what they said. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. So the reason why they were discouraged is not that they didn't believe in Jesus, is that Jesus was a side issue. He's not the main deal. Many Christians even are discouraged because they believe in Jesus, but for them, I use Jesus for my promotion. I use Jesus to get to be successful in my job. I use Jesus for this. You can't do that. The Bible study is not to find ways to prosper. It's to see Jesus. And then you will prosper. Amen. Are you listening, people? Where Jesus is, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh will come. Amen. Hallelujah. Where Jesus is, everything is held together. All things are held by him. Where Jesus is, there is peace, there's harmony, there's healing. Jesus never attended a funeral. That did not become a resurrection. No one died in his presence. Everyone who is dead, when he comes on the scene, they come alive. So, it's Jesus you want to see. It's the Lord Jesus. Can I have a good amen? You want to see him. But for them, we thought, we were hoping it was he who should redeem Israel. So Israel is their main topic. Maybe for you, your family is your main topic. Maybe your child is your main topic. Maybe your finances is your main topic. Your career is your main topic. Whatever it is your main topic. No, Jesus is not a side issue. When you study your Bible, come to see Jesus. Can I have a good amen? Notice how Jesus brought them out of this. The Bible says, Jesus says, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written, have spoken. And now, the two indictments against the church, foolishness and slow of heart to believe. If they are discouraged, it's because they don't have the knowledge. Or if they have the knowledge, they are slow to believe. What's the solution? The Bible says, and beginning at Moses, Moses is the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The first five books of Moses is called the books of Moses. Amen? The Torah, the Pentateuch in the Greek. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Samuel, all that, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, not Israel. Himself. Are you listening? And then the Bible says that at the end of the journey, what did it say? Did not our hearts burn when he opened to us the scriptures? Amen? So why did he restrain their eyes? I asked the Lord this. Years ago, the Lord answered me. I never heard anyone preach this. The Lord gave me this direct revelation. The Lord said to me, it's because it's more important for them to see me in the scriptures than to see me in person. Amen. In that way, everybody will have equal opportunity. Today, you know, we are not in Emmaus. We are not where Jesus, you know, but even then, you go down there now, you don't see Jesus in the flesh, all right, or the glorified Jesus. So it's equal opportunity for us today. We all can see Jesus in the scriptures. And when you see Jesus, you see yourself because you are put in Him. And not only that, when you see Jesus, everything falls into place. Perspective. You start doing things for His glory, but He is your main occupation when you study the scriptures. Amen? By the way, that's how you are transformed. Whether you are a very bad-tempered person, you know how to be transformed? Not by trying. Do your best. Start breathing deeply. Breathe out all your anger. Breathe in. Belly breathing. Diaphragmatic breathing. Count to 10 before you slap the person. Then breathe out. I tell you this. It works in some situation because, you know, things of the flesh may appear to work. But I tell you this, it's not the answer. The answer is transformation. If you are sick, how to get from here to here? Wholeness. Amen. Amen. If you are a person who is proud, how to get to this place of being a humble person, a person that gives God all the glory. Transformation, how do you transform? How are you transformed? It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, keep that in mind, unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. The same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Number one, we are transformed into the same image. Wow. That means when I read the Bible and I see Jesus, is Jesus whole? Is Jesus healthy? I'm transformed into the same image. And that's why when I'm sick, I like to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just not the instruction words of Jesus, but just the miracles. Amen. Because I'm transformed into the same image. But Pastor, this transformation part, I've tried my best. Not you trying. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. And all the Spirit wants you to do is behold. Beholding as in a mirror. Pastor, what is this beholding the mirror? Can I submit to you? Where can I find this mirror? This is the mirror. This is the mirror. Okay? I said this is the mirror. Well, from what basis, from what authority do you say that? For years, I have people quote this verse, and I do not know how to practically do it. How do I behold the glory of the Lord? In worship, I think to a certain extent, yes. Amen. We do see the Lord in worship. But I don't think this is what this verse is referring to. Is it in meditation? I sit down and think about Jesus right now. Is it meditation? I think to a certain extent, it does help. Amen. But I think that the Bible is referring to reading the Word. You know how I know that? Context. Context is so important when you read everything. Look at this. This verse 18, right? Go back. It says, even to this day, even until today, when Moses is read, what is Moses again? The first five books of the Bible, referring to the Jewish people. When they read Genesis or Exodus, Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy, when they read Moses, a veil, unveiled face just now we read. Now a veil lies on their heart. So when they read, thou shalt not muzzle the ox. Okay, this means the ox don't muzzle, does it? They don't see, but when the veil is taken away, they see a deeper revelation. I want you all to become revelation junkies. I want you all to become revelation addicts. I want you all to be so like, wow, I want to get revelation from the Bible. Come on. Amen? And when you hear a preacher doesn't give you a revelation, come on, sit down, man. And I want to hear a preacher that gives me a revelation. So I know that he is fresh in his relationship with God. He is hearing from God. He is hearing from heaven. Amen? I think no one should step down here, all right, who have not had a fresh revelation from God. Amen? So all our pastors, they have fresh revelation. And I want you to have fresh revelation. You cannot live on yesterday's manna. You cannot live on yesterday's offering. You cannot live on yesterday's food. None of you, even practically, you don't eat and then survive on that for a few days. Oh, I don't have to eat anymore. Why? I ate my chicken rice 2 days ago. And I still have the memory of how it tastes. Amen? No, no, no. You ask Matthew. And I'm telling you, wild horses cannot keep him away. Amen? When it comes to food, you still want to eat it again. I know how it tastes, but I'm going to eat it again. So that's the same verses, for example. You read the same verses, but you know what? You're eating it. And again, it has the same value because you are what you eat. Can I have a good amen, people? Is this helping you? So when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. So how to remove this veil? It's like they only see the literal words. They see the shell. They don't see the revelation. All right? Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord Jesus, the veil is taken away. So when you open the Bible, always go to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I turn to you, Lord. Lord Jesus, open my eyes to see you, Lord. Lord Jesus, that's when the veil is taken away. And you look, and that night, the king could not sleep. Shh. You start writing. Amen? And one day, you're asked to share the night seasons in someone's life. Maybe it's one-on-one with a colleague or a friend, and you're able to share because it's been food for you. You have drunk deeply from the rivers of his revelation. And now, rivers are coming out of you. Rivers are for others, right? You drink. The well is for you. Rivers are always for others. Amen. The words of the Bible is so precious. It's so precious. Husbands and wives, it tells you, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loves the church. And don't just rush to it, even as Christ loves the church. How does Christ love the church? So the focus is not on husband, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. So you see Jesus first. To help your marriage, see Jesus first. Christ loves the church. How did Christ love the church? Does he condemn her? No. I shall not be condemning my wife. How does Christ love the church? He looks at her in Song of Songs and says, you are altogether lovely. There is no spot in you. Whoa. Pastor, come on la. All our wives got false one. Amen. You know, but that's not how God sees the church. God sees reality like no one can. Mm-hmm. You know, the church sees division. Division, even among Christians, division. Division in denomination. But you know what? When God looks, God sees one church. When God looks in Singapore, God sees one church. God sees one church. When Elijah was challenging the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, Elijah built 12 stones together. At that time, the kingdom was split. The tribes were divided. And yet, he presented a united front to God in his prayer. As far as he prayed according to heaven's vision, not according to man's vision. Your prayer, you should be praying heaven downwards, not always earth down, earth to heaven. You get what I'm saying? See God's the way God sees. Father, I thank you that you see me righteous, Lord, blameless, Lord. You see me altogether lovely in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, as you look at the situation, you see me already healed. Amen. You see our families flourishing, Lord. I thank you, Lord. See from God's perspective. Amen. 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 Pastor, you got to say it like it is, Pastor. If things are not like it's not, what? I tell you, people like you should not go by the swimming pool and jump. Because you see, we're very shallow. Jump. And you can't swim. You die. You cannot just go by what you see, people. One time, Prophet Elisha and his servant, right? They got up in the morning and the Syrian army was surrounding them to kill them because every time the Syrian commander, the king says, we'll attack from this way. Bang! Israel hears about it. We'll attack by this way now. Bang! They hear about it. They say, one of you is betraying me. No. There's a prophet down there. The prophet is telling the king. So they send an army and the army is surrounded the house of Elisha and his servant. And they got up and the whole place was surrounded with horses and chariots and men of war. And the servant was trembling. Now, you all say, just you see as it is, Lord Pastor, it must be real, what? But reality is greater than what you see physically. So you know what Elisha says? Elisha says, don't worry. Hey, 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 cool down, relax. Rapha. There are more with us than with them. That's the equivalent of the New Testament. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's more with us than with them. Are you listening? Some of you, you Christians, are so demon conscious. I can sense demons around. Amen. There are more with us, angels, than with them. See more angels with you. Amen. There are angels all around. Amen. What are you saying? So he says that, Lord, open his eyes. Finally, he said, Lord, open his eyes, the servant's eyes. The servant opened his eyes and he saw behind all the armies angels and angels, flaming swords and flaming chariots, outnumbering the Syrians. And you know what happened, right? The Syrian army became blinded. There are more with us than with them. When you fly, there are more angels with you than the demons that try to attack you. Wherever you go, be Jesus conscious. So this is reality, people. This is reality. Long time ago, they said that, well, I don't see it, I don't believe it. What's wrong? If I touch this dead person and I touch this person as a doctor, like during the time of this Ignaz Semmelweis, if he says, a doctor says that, he's so proud. He's saying that he knows everything. No, there are things you can't see. Now, beyond that now, no one can have an instrument to see angels. It's beyond men. But they are with us. Even right now in this service, they are with us. Sometimes I see angels pouring oil on people, healing people. Amen? I see him pouring oil. And it's happened even just now during the preaching. Some of you are healed. Check your bodies right now. Check your bodies right now. If you came in here with some symptom and it's gone, do a wave, a little wave. Let Jesus have all the... Now look around. Camera, pick all these... Wave. Now wave violently because you are sitting down. Wave violently, okay? If the symptoms have left your body, amen? Look up there. Praise God. Look at all these people. Amen. So listen. You know what? As the word goes forth, look at Pastor Prince. It's not my ability, but angels pour oil. Pour oil, golden oil. I've seen golden oil being poured on people as the word goes forth. We don't focus on the angels. We focus on the Lord Jesus. But there's more with us than with them. When you face life, remember there are more with you than with them. Amen. With them are the demons and the forces and all that. And that's why some of you are very interested in end-time prophecy teachings and all that. Be very careful that you don't become darkness conscious. Depression sets in. Demons conscious. What the devil is doing around the world, you know? Yeah, it is true what the devil is doing. The devil is doing some things, but let's focus on what the Lord is doing. The bite that the children of Israel got, the snake bite, is real. But God doesn't want them to look at their snake bite. It is real. God wants them to look at the bronze serpent on the cross. Amen. And all whoso looketh, liveth. And the word look there is the Hebrew word nabat, which means look intently. Don't look there, look here. Look here, look there. Look there, look here. Look here, look there. Look intently. We have communion. Look intently at what Jesus has done for you. Look intently at your Savior, His all lovely one. And all the people said, amen. I preach myself happy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have given you something that will keep on feeding you. I've given you something that you can do on your own. Amen. Because every time you turn to the Lord, the veil is lifted. You don't need Pastor Prince. Amen. Pastor Prince, yes. Is called by God, has an anointing, amen, called to be a teacher, a pastor, but you don't need Pastor Prince to be beside you. In fact, you can have his book on daily devotional, and the teaching anointing is there. But on your own, you can ask the Lord to speak to you. Even you're using the devotional, ask the Lord to speak to you, his personal word to you. And you'll be surprised how many times the Lord will give you a word or words or a statement that will jump out at you. And friend, it's not enough you received something last month. It's not enough you received something last week. The manna that the children of Israel received cannot be kept. Give us this day our daily bread. It's never a weekly bread. It's a daily bread. So keep that relationship fresh. Don't live on what you know. Live on what you are knowing today and receiving from Him. If there's anyone here under the sound of my voice, you have never made the Lord Jesus your personal Savior and Lord, friend, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that means God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, that He who knew no sin became sin for you on the cross, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you believe that, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe Christ died for my sins and was raised from the dead when you justified me. I thank you. Today, all my sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me. I am now your child. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm in Christ. And that's how you see me from now on. Because Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. There are more angels with me than all the demons set against me. Greater is He that's in me, the Holy Spirit, than the devil that's in the world. Thank you, Father. I'm now on the winning team. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands all across this place. Never take protection for granted. Amen? Receive it. Father in heaven, this coming week, I thank you, Father, that as your people, Lord, go back to their various places, go back to their workplaces, Lord, wherever they are traveling even, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that your divine protection be upon every one of them and upon their families. Protect them, Father, from all the harmful effects of the haze. Protect them, Lord, from every sickness and disease. Protect them, Lord, through the blood of Jesus, from everything that would hurt or destroy them and their family, Lord. Throughout this week, Father, let your angels accompany us, that no plague come near our dwelling and no evil befall us. Thank you, Father in heaven. And I pray in Jesus' name that you will grant to everyone here, Lord, under the sound of my voice and those that are watching, Lord, right now, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord, that revelation will be their craving, Lord. Revelation will be their new hobby, Lord, to see afresh what is revealed in the scriptures by your Holy Spirit. I pray that everyone, when they open the Bible from now, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, they will see Jesus. They will see the things all together for our sakes. And they'll receive, Lord, life and health to all their flesh. In Jesus' name. And all the people said,
amen.
God bless you.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
The whole world is right now in a global recession, but remember that we are people who are in the world, but we are not of the world. If you are suffering, all right, in any way during this famine, or you're in debt and you can't imagine how you can pay off your debt, release that faith in your heart to see a God who wants to prosper you.
This month, for your gift of any amount, we're sending you Joseph's 2-sermon CD series, You Are Blessed to Be a Blessing. Discover how the Lord can be your source of supply and can use any channel to provide for you in your time of need. And for a limited time only, you'll also receive an extra 3-sermon CD series in book for your gift of $60 or more. Easy digital access now also available. Scan the QR code at the back to watch the sermon immediately with no login required. When you request a resource, you're giving many more precious souls the opportunity to hear the gospel of grace and have their lives radically transformed. Visit us at josephprince.org or call us toll-free at 877-901-4300. Are you struggling in your spiritual walk or feeling exhausted from trying to be a perfect Christian? If you are new to this ministry, we want to welcome you and bless you with Joseph's foundational book, Destined to Reign. Find out why your Christian walk is not about what you can do for God, but what He has already done for you. Get this life-changing book that has impacted and transformed so many lives over the past 15 years. This book is absolutely free. Just pay for shipping and handling. Visit us at josephprince.org/new or text NEW to 71239. Help us proclaim the life-changing gospel of grace far and wide. Join us as a Grace Legacy Builder. You can make a real difference in the lives of many today. Visit josephprince.org or call 877-901-4300 to find out more. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.